This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, this is BJ. Thanks for listening to our show's podcast. If you're a fan of all things geeky, you should check out my other podcast, BJ Shea's Geek Nation. We have new episodes every day, and you can check it out at bjgeeknation.com.
Your home is going into foreclosure, and you feel like a financial wreck. You don't know where to turn for accurate information. I'm bankruptcy attorney Travis Gagne. Let's talk about some legal options. If we work quickly, we can propose a plan to save your home, modify the loan, or in many cases, even eliminate your second mortgage. The consultation is free. I've helped hundreds of people just like you make informed decisions about whether to save their home or exit it on a reasonable, organized timeline. The chapter you choose sets the tone for the next chapter of your life. Please contact me today at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com.
99.9 KISW, the Rock of Seattle. Well, the Bigfoot conspiracy. It's still going on, man. It is still happening. There were some hunters in Canada who recorded audio of what it sounds like some sort of animal screaming from deep in the woods. And so a lot of people are saying, oh yeah, that's Bigfoot.
I mean, that sounds more like the Rev when he's constipated.
Oh, that's a good point.
Well, I mean, you're not wrong.
That would be Big T.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
So this whole Bigfoot thing. So are they hunters looking for other stuff, or are they Bigfoot hunters?
They say just hunters.
Okay.
Yeah, but I don't know, Steve. You're right. They could be Bigfoot hunters. I have no idea. That did sound creepy, but I'm not sure what the hell it was. But I hear something like that, I'm not hunting anymore.
Yeah, I mean, at first I thought, oh, it sounds like a coyote, but it sounded a little bit less.
It was more guttural.
Can we hear it again?
Yeah, let's hear that again, because it didn't seem as high-pitched as a coyote.
That sounds like a coyote.
See,
that part did.
Unless he was doing some sort of metal song.
Oh, that could be.
Yeah, we wanted to do it like in his metal voice.
It's a death metal band from Norway.
Yeah.
Working out their music in the woods.
Yeah, they got lost.
Yeah.
Come on with this Bigfoot thing.
I know. With all the technology we have, you think we'd be able to go, here he is.
Well, he's around. He's hanging out on a flat earth with Tupac.
Oh, that's where he is. All right.
I mean, don't we all believe that?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Where's Elvis in this one?
Oh, well, thank you.
He's hanging out with BJ yesterday.
I had myself a burger yesterday. Thank you very much.
Yeah. So, since you brought that up, well, Danny took me to Luna Park, which, how about this, man? I have been going to West Seattle for 20 years,
right.
but I always take a right down by Avalon Way and Harbor, and I go to Alki Beach.
Right.
And that's how I go. If I had just taken a left, like just a few short feet up the road, there's the gorgeous, awesome beauty of Luna Park Diner, which is it's a cafe, but it's a diner, and including the dude that welcomes you, dude. He's got the hair slicked back. He's got the, hey, how you doing? I mean,
hey, how you doing?
It's true, dude. I feel like I'm back in the 50s.
Is it Vito?
I don't know what. I should have asked him his name.
I want to say his name is Johnny. I don't really know if that's true, but I'm just like, hey, Johnny, what's up?
And I feel like, I mean, I feel like he's putting on a show, but I'm not sure. Because, I mean, he looks great, but he does look like he just stepped out of the 50s a little bit. And, oh, God, the food they got there. I didn't even have half the good stuff that they had because I just went for their signature, which is the peanut butter Elvis hamburger, which was delicious.
I know. I saw that. I was impressed. That's a good combo right there, peanut butter and meat.
Yeah, and I don't think my doctor's going to be impressed.
Well, don't show it to him.
Yeah.
You should have put it on social media.
Yeah, that's the problem. Yeah, I think it's up there. Yeah.
Now, Elvis loved the peanut butter and banana sandwich.
That's true.
Yeah. So were there any bananas on your burger?
No, it was really the peanut butter that I think why they called it the Elvis burger.
Well, and somebody, we posted the video and somebody was like, try the dead Elvis burger next time. And that's the one with the banana.
Oh.
The Elvis burger is just peanut butter. I don't know if that's actually true, but that's what they said.
And you have to eat that one on the toilet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course.
That's part of the deal.
Now
they bring a fake toilet that you sit on while you eat it. Oh, I would get that every time.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
If they they dress you up, like they bring out that the dead Elvis with like the glasses that give you the sideburns.
Yeah.
And like a wig, obviously, for us bald folk.
Okay.
And then you sit on a fake toilet.
I like this idea.
This is amazing.
Yeah, this would be, Steve, open up a restaurant, because no one's doing that.
Oh, well, you know what? I don't think I'm going to make a lot of money with this. It's a very niche form. Yeah,
it surely is.
Type of a burger joint.
But that's what I like to do, man. When I go to any place, I like to know their specialty, and I want to do it, because they had a lot of other good food there. But, you know, Danny was like, well, I mean, you know, the Elvis burger is what they got. I mean, who's got an Elvis burger?
I'm the same way, though. If I go to a restaurant I haven't been to, I try and find what if the description says our most popular dish.
Yes.
I'm like, oh, I hope you're not lying. I mean, you're just trying to sell me something that nobody's buying. But I like to assume that it is the most popular dish. It's the top of the menu.
Yeah. So that's they have a thing called a pile up there, which you know, is just like they it's a breakfasty thing.
Oh, I'm looking at the picture of the spot. It has a cool vibe.
Oh,
to it.
Dude, it's so great. And Danny lives right, like he gets to go there as much as he wants. He says they got good happy hour down there. I'm so jealous.
Well, why don't you move in with Danny?
I think it's time to move in with Danny.
Time to tell your lady that she needs to get out.
All right.
Yeah.
That's fine. She can live with Sarah and George and BJ. Oh, wow, we'll just do a
there
trade.
You go. Yeah, that's a good trade, actually.
It's kind of like wife swap.
Yeah, that works for everybody, doesn't it?
I don't know. They got one called the Gut Bomb.
Oh, I haven't tried that.
Ooh. It's a patty top with thinly sliced ham, bacon, and cheddar. And add a fried egg to it for $1.79.
Ooh. See, this is...
See, I don't see the dead Elvis on the menu, though.
No, I don't think they have... I think that was a listener request. I don't think they have a dead Elvis. They just have the Elvis burger.
They do have one called the Porker.
Oh, really?
You mean what I had wasn't the Porker?
No.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I got a question for you. Why would a guy try to blow up a gentleman's club? Why?
Terrorist.
Why? Yeah. Steve will tell you why. He's got the Migs report for you at 6:17.
BJ and Migs, mornings on The Rock, 99.9 KISW.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
99.9 KISW, The Rock of Seattle.
If you're hearing an informative newscast right now, well, then you must not be listening to BJ and Migs. Live from the KISW News Center in downtown Seattle, this is the Migs Report.
Well, thanks, you guys. Thanks to Kia Up You Off for giving us the Migs Report, and happy National Pickle Day. So everybody enjoy yourself a pickle.
Oh, today's the day, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Enjoy them pickles, BJ.
Yeah.
Or maybe have like a pickle-infused vodka over at the Forum in Tacoma.
Yeah, but we have to, you know, there's the people, don't you, that like they have a fear of pickles, right?
You're right. Who was that person? Remember we had a caller that called in and said they messed with a coworker and they just put a bunch of pickles around that person's car and they wouldn't even step over the pickle.
Yeah, you know? It's like a pickle phobia.
That seems to be a very intense fear.
So this is a horrible day for these folks.
I'm sorry, guys. Well, you know what? Maybe you should stay in today.
Yeah.
I think your boss should give you the day off if you have an intense fear of pickles.
I agree.
Well, this one guy seems to have an intense fear of strip clubs, so he tried to blow one up.
Okay, that's not good.
All right, here's actually what happened. 33-year-old guy by the name of Nicholas. He lives in Indiana, and last week he was at a strip club in Indianapolis.
Okay.
And, well, they had to kick him out because, well, he was causing a disturbance.
Oh, yes.
I would imagine he wasn't sitting on his hands.
No, he wasn't.
Well, the way he handled it was he grabbed a gas can next to the building, tied a shirt around the big part of the gas can, took a few drags of his cigarette, and then flicked it at the gas can and ran away. He tried to blow up the strip club because they kicked him out of it.
Okay.
Fortunately, the can did not light. Because if he actually blew up the strip club, there's like 40 to 50 people inside of there. This could have been an awful situation.
Wow.
Especially for someone who didn't tell, like, maybe somebody that they were going to the strip club, and then that's how they find out.
Yeah.
Yeesh.
Yeah, that's not a good way to find out. Your man or your woman is seeing the naked ladies.
Well, he's been arrested, of course, for attempted arson and criminal recklessness. And I also bring up this story, and if you see it on the news, be sure to find the mugshot of the guy. Because it almost looks like Bubbles from Trailer Park Boys.
No.
Without his glasses on.
Oh, yeah, dude. God, he looks like a winner. Yeah. Yeah,
he's got great hair.
He sure does.
He looks like he was having some fun at a strip club.
Oh, that guy is just he's creepy looking.
This is one of the odder ways to get busted for having possession of cocaine, and that's because of a wild Italian boar. According to Italian authorities, some wild boars, they were in obviously in the woods doing what they were doing, and they sniffed out, and maybe that's not the right term, because, well, it was $22,000 worth of cocaine.
Oh, they sniffed it out all right.
But you don't want a boar hopped up on coke.
No, you don't.
That sounds like a terrible
They're
idea.
Wild already. That's the idea.
Oh, yeah, audio of what happened.
Jacked up good boars, no.
I guess the boar was stomping on the ground. It broke a bunch of jars that were buried in the ground with a bunch of cocaine. It all burst. The drugs were everywhere. Of course, the cops somehow find out about all this, and they figure out who did it. A couple of people that were involved, and they've been arrested for drug trafficking.
They were able to find the people who buried those jars.
Well, I would imagine those guys were coming back for the jars.
Yeah, you good point. Yeah,
just leave them there as like a time capsule.
Yeah, a little fingerprint action.
This could be one of the oddest ways that somebody has ever given birth. And this 19-year-old woman gave birth on the dance floor at a club.
Oh, that's it.
Could you imagine that? You're out on the club.
What?
And she's 19. She's in France having a good time at 5:30 in the morning, because that's what you do when you're about ready to give birth to a child. And all of a sudden they notice that she's on the ground. The bouncer shows up and they call the paramedics, and yeah, gave birth right there on the dance floor.
Do you think she had to know she was pregnant, right?
I don't know. That's a good question. They don't really mention that, but you hear these stories of people that have no idea that they're pregnant.
Yeah.
Otherwise, why are you going to a dance club until 5:30 in the morning when you're about to birth?
Exactly. If you're like, you know, days away, that's the last thing I would think you'd be doing. But look at her, and it was successful, and she's okay.
Yeah, the baby, it looks like, born in good health. And the club said the baby gets free entry for life.
Nice.
No, that's not necessarily true.
Well, it did enter, you know, and didn't pay a cover charge.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Tonight you got Thursday Night Football.
Yeah.
The Steelers taking on the Browns. That should be a fun one.
Do we care?
No. But I do care about the NBA for a second, because yesterday there was a game between the Clippers and the Rockets. I bring it up because the coach of the Clippers is Doc Rivers.
Okay.
One of the players for the Rockets is his son, Austin Rivers.
All right.
And there was an awesome moment during the game where Doc Rivers got some technical fouls and got in trouble with the refs, and his son was egging on the refs to get his dad in trouble. The play-by-play is just fantastic.
No.
It's a cool father-son moment.
Doc Rivers is at midcourt right now. Look at Austin Rivers. Look at his son.
No, that's the best.
Look at his son saying, call him for a tee. Tee up, my dad. He's on the other team, and there it is.
That's funny. Right?
Doc's son begging for his dad to get a technical. Austin just looked at us. He's like, get him out of here. Get him out.
And he bought him dinner last night.
So Doc got ejected. Austin's like, call me, Dad. Call me.
That's a great moment.
It's a good father-son moment right there. He bought him dinner.
That is fantastic.
Still egged on the refs.
Of course. You got to win that game. He trained that kid right.
So fantastic. That's got to be weird being a coach and having your kid on another team.
Yeah, it would be weirder if he was on your team, because it would be all the way back like the little kid, you know, like you're the little coach of a little kid's team if
back
he was on yours.
League. Yep, I remember that. Our star pitcher was a terrible pitcher, but his dad was the coach in the little league.
Yeah.
That would be hard. And I couldn't complain because I was a worse player than his kid.
Yeah.
So I think that's why the coach liked me, because I was like one of the few players that made his son look good.
Oh, that's why you run the team.
Well, no, it's on the team because my parents paid for me to be on the team.
Oh.
That's how Little League works, BJ.
Is that how that works?
Yeah.
Oh, well, yep. They don't draft people and go, look, I need somebody horrible.
They have those select teams. I never made that team.
You were selected to make his kid look good. You were selected, please. Come on.
That's right. Go Dodgers. We were a fun team.
Yeah, you were.
I don't know if we won that year. As far as weather, 55 degrees and cloudy. Thank you to Snoqualmie Casino for giving us the Mays Report, and that's what's up.
This is really cool. Somebody found this interview from back in 1974 from a science fiction writer, Arthur C. Clarke. He's the guy that wrote 2001 Space Odyssey, and that was turned into a movie directed by Stanley Kubrick and considered revolutionary at the time. But I love this because this goes back to 74. What are we talking? Almost 40 years?
45 years ago.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's almost 50 years ago when you think about it. Yeah, 45. So 45 years ago, he was asked what he thought the world would be like in 2001, since, of course, his story was called 2001, A Space Odyssey. I love when guys try to make predictions, you know, of what they think the world is like, and then we get to actually know what the world was like.
The big difference, in fact, if we wanted to wait for the year 2001, is that he will have in his own house a console through which he can talk to his friendly local computer and get all the information he needs for his everyday life, and his bank statements, his theater reservations. This will be in a compact form in his own house. He'll have a television screen and a keyboard, and he'll talk to the computer, get information from it, and he'll take it as much for granted as we take the telephone.
I wonder, though, what sort of a life would it be like in social terms, if our whole life is built around the computer?
They'll also enrich our society, because it'll make it possible for us to live really anywhere we like, almost anywhere on Earth, and still do his business through a device like this.
Boy, was he wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, none of those things have happened at all. What the heck?
Weird. Isn't that amazing? Because I remember wanting a personal computer in my house when we saw them at the back in the 70s. Mm-hmm. And everybody thought, you know, what are you, stupid? No one's going to have these. These are too expensive to have in the house. Like, oh, we got to have these. Come on.
I mean, it must have been cool for you. You witnessed the invention of the wheel, fire, and
I've seen
the computer.
Yeah.
And I remember when the computers were first out, they were like these giant boxes.
Yeah.
So you're a smart guy. Like, this guy's smart enough to figure out how to do all this stuff. He probably figured, okay, eventually you're going to be able to make these things smaller and make them in homes. And
Yeah. And he wasn't too far away with the consoles. The first game console, the Atari 2600, wasn't long after 1974.
I thought it was funny that he made it a point to be like, oh, you can make reservations.
Yeah.
It's like, yep. And you can write mean things about these restaurants, too, online.
Yeah. He never even thought about the fact, forget about in your home, we're going to have these handheld Star Trek-like devices to do all those same things, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's cool. That's very, very cool.
And I like the, well, how's this going to do for the social world? And he's like, oh, yeah, you could do anything from anywhere.
Yeah.
Include troll people and make them miserable.
That's the one thing that guys like those folks back in the 70s, because they talked to the guy that made the internet, and he also thought, hey, the world's going to be a better place because of the internet. Neither one of them thought that we would have the social degradation that we've had when it comes to people treating each other the way they do.
They didn't think about keyboard warriors.
No, they didn't. And they did, and it's really had an impact on society, because you see it from our leaders. Nobody treats anybody well. It's just team versus team, it seems, and it doesn't matter if you're being a jerk as long as your team wins, which is not good.
Spout off on the computer, log off, and go on with the rest of your day.
Yeah, which is why I think all of us are very excited about Disney Plus.
Got it all hooked up yesterday, boys.
Oh, you're in.
Congratulations.
Picked up a Chromecast. Shout out to the guy that I met over at Best Buy. He was nice.
The Chromecast is like a little thing?
Yeah, it just goes, it's like a beam things from my phone onto my TV.
Oh, very cool.
So now I'm all hooked up. Got Disney Plus.
Nice.
And watched the Mandarella.
Oh, the Mandarella?
The Mandarella?
Yeah, good old Mandarella.
The Mandarella effect.
The Nelson Mandalorian.
Yes. I watched that yesterday.
And now, don't spoil anything, but you're not a Star Wars fan, so I'm wondering how you really feel about it.
I like Star Wars. I love the Han Solo movie. I like all of them except for the ones that happened, the boring ones with Anakin and stuff.
Oh, yeah, 1, 2, and 3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hated those.
Good
those
call.
Are stupid.
Okay, so you like the Star Wars movies. This takes place between Episode 6, which is when Luke saves his dad, and Episode 7, where, of course, we got The Force Awakening.
Yeah, and I did have to look at the description of the episode at first when I was first watching. I'm like, what the hell's going on?
Yeah.
So then I understood what was going on. Like, everything was just pure chaos.
Yes, because the Empire fell after they blew up the Death Star for the second time.
And I got to say, man, that was a great first episode.
Yeah. How about the end, huh?
The end was awesome.
Yeah, the end is trippy.
It was fantastic.
It was awesome and adorable. If I can say that.
Yeah, I think you can. Yeah,
I really think you can.
I don't think you're spoiling anything when you're saying that.
But my wife was like, that's pretty cool.
It's very cool.
I'd say it had to. I understand why. It was kind of slow moving for like the first half of the show.
Yeah.
But then once things got picked up, then you're just like, okay, it all makes sense why it needed to be slow moving, because you needed to build to something.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to watching episode 2.
Yeah, and big props to Jon Favreau, because he's the guy that did it.
Yeah, and actually, episode 2 drops tomorrow.
Woo!
Friday.
Very excited.
Now, don't think this is spoiling anything.
Okay, well, I'll let Red be the judge of that.
Okay.
Okay. And we're talking about Star Wars The Mandalorian since Steve finally installed Disney Plus yesterday.
No, I know it's not Boba Fett.
Yes. No,
he looks like Boba Fett. That looks like Boba Fett.
Yeah.
Did you guys find it? Like, I don't remember. Boba Fett never talked, right?
He did a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, he said, he's worth nothing to me dead. You know, he said that to Vader one time.
Mm-hmm. It threw me off when the guy started talking.
Yeah.
And he didn't have a very tough voice. I don't know why, but his voice kind of bothered me.
Oh, yeah, you didn't think it was like,
it was just like, hey, I'm over here, you guys.
He sounds very much just like Boba Fett, actually. You know, as far as it's the same. But you're right. We are so used to the Batman voice. You've got to have a kick-ass voice.
That's a good call. Or yeah. Darth Vader. It seems like whenever anyone's wearing a helmet, they always sound more ballsy.
Yeah. Even Kylo Ren sounds a little bit more ballsier than the Mandalorian.
Way less whiny when he's wearing his helmet, yeah.
And look, if that's the only complaint, and it's a minor complaint, then obviously they're doing something right.
I love it just because it's a Western in space.
Yeah.
They even call him a lone gunman in the description. They really, you're absolutely right, Rev. It's Western in space.
Oh, and it's so fantastic. Someone mentioned that it reminds him of The Man with No Name, the old Western series
I never saw that.
And so, like, all of these, it's so reminiscent of that. I loved every single minute of it.
And this is how I'm going to do a Western. And people used to call Firefly pretty much a Western in space, too.
Yeah.
And that's the only way I can do Westerns. It's, okay, I will give you your shootouts and your hard-looking towns, and even a guy that doesn't shoot like a laser beam but a blaster bullet, really. I'll deal with that as long as I can see a ship fly around once in a while in a monster. I'll deal with your Western.
I was on social media this morning. I saw one of our friends, Ty. He posted something, and Rev instantly just snapped back at him.
Awesome. Oh, yeah.
So Ty wrote, am I the only one that thought the first episode of The Mandalorian was only okay? And Rev, within seconds of him posting that, just wrote, yep.
Yeah, and the guy that played the robot, there's basically a droid in there that has a prominent part. Is that the same guy that was in the Avengers, the voice of the rock guy in the Avengers? I think it was the same voice,
Taika Waititi.
Yeah, he's the voice of that droid.
Then yes, he was. He was Krag in Thor Ragnarok.
Because I saw his name and I'm like, where the hell was he? And then I looked it up and it gave like a bunch of letters and I go, oh, that must be a droid.
Yeah, it's probably the bounty droid. Yeah.
So the bounty, that's cool that guy's in it. If you remember from Thor Ragnarok, it was Thor's rock buddy.
No, I don't remember.
How about the Avengers Endgame? Thor's rock buddy's playing video games with.
I believe you.
Do you watch these movies?
Yeah, but then I fall asleep. Or I mean, he's
got an Australian accent and he's rocks, man.
It's a New Zealand accent. If you call him Australian,
you're right.
You're gonna be pissed.
Yes. PJ, do you even watch these movies?
Come on, man.
Yeah. I'm sorry. You're right. It's New Zealand accent. That sucks for me. Yeah. They had over 10 million people sign up on day one.
No wonder
Disney
why
Plus.
They had some issues.
Yeah, and that makes sense. And even the issues were early on. By the time I got on later in the day of day one, I was able to watch The Mandalorian with no problem. So they fixed it quickly, and I think that's reasonable. Man, they thought they would get 8 million subscribers by the end of 2019. They got 10 million on day one. Yeah.
Well, you think about all the people that were getting it through Verizon for free, and then there's also like a week where you could get it for free as well from another way, I think.
You're right, they had a whole free week, you're right. They are projecting that Disney Plus will have over 60 million to 90 million subscribers worldwide by 2024, one-third of those in the U.S., and we'll see how that works out well with the U.S., Canada, the Netherlands, things like that. But, I mean, look, they've got Marvel, they've got Star Wars, they've got their Disney products. Yeah, I can see why they could be
up
there.
Yeah, they got my money.
Yeah, they got my
money. And they got your money.
Yeah. They'll get my money, too, probably.
They got my money next year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, I couldn't wait. I was just like, fine, whatever.
Yeah. I don't blame you. Yesterday, Steve, he did get this one wrong.
In 1804, which historical pair left St. Louis to forge their way to the West Coast?
Oh, Heckle and Jekyll.
No.
The Wright brothers.
No.
Which pair? Billy Joe Armstrong and Trey Cool.
No. How long have you lived in the Pacific Northwest?
Clark and Kent.
Clark and Kent. Yeah,
so
that's
close.
So close. Man, you know what? You are a Puget Sounder through and through, my friend. Lewis and Clark is the answer that pretty much every child around here knows. You want a shot at beating Steve? You got it. 206-421-ROCK. We're playing Beat Migs at 647 on The Rock.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Travis Gagne, bankruptcy attorney. He's here right now and has agreed to answer more of your questions about bankruptcy. How do I know if bankruptcy is going to provide me with relief? What are the steps for my situation?
There's so much information out there about bankruptcy with the internet and what people have heard from friends and other people that they've talked to about their financial issues or bankruptcy. There's also a lot of bad information out there or urban legends about bankruptcy. In order to determine whether bankruptcy makes sense for you, you need to talk to an attorney that's experienced in bankruptcy. So in order to determine whether bankruptcy makes sense for you, you should talk to an experienced bankruptcy attorney. And right, my job is not to convince you to file bankruptcy. My job is to help you to make that decision and have all the facts so that you can make an informed decision about whether bankruptcy makes sense for you, what benefits it's going to have for you, and what the downside of filing bankruptcy is.
Thanks, Travis. If you have more questions about bankruptcy, you can reach out to Travis anytime at ChooseTheRightChapter.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.